Shall I proceed? I am so happy to see all of you here with me, as if I'm really seeing you, right? Let me have my fun. Today, I have a returning guest that I should have had a very long time ago. I mean, charge it to my head, not my heart. But when it comes to wellness and well-being and just everything, mental wellness and just doing the, for those in the community, this gentleman is one of my faves, Mr. Caleb Boswell. Caleb,
wow. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you back. It's been way too long, over a year, way too long.
And I've been tuning in. And we've been keeping in touch via social media.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. So, Caleb, please tell everyone, I'm not going to do you justice. Please tell everyone who you are, what you do, and what you got going on with you.
All right. So my name is Caleb Boswell. I'm an LLPC here in the state of Michigan. So that's a limited licensed professional counselor. I work at a local community college in the Office of Counseling and Career Planning. And then one of the things that has popped off since COVID has happened is my friend, myself and my friend Charlie Pleasant, we started a community, an online community on Facebook called The Healing Collective. And so we meet every Wednesday. Where we have a different therapist on every week and we talk about a different topic. We try to keep it light. We try to keep it real. It's definitely not stiff at all. And then this wave, since we're talking more about wellness and healing. And so the first wave that we talked about a lot of topics because COVID was brand new and everybody was just experiencing it in quarantine. Now that we've kind of just been here, I can't say got adjusted, but since we've kind of just been here in it all this time, now we're just really focused this wave of shows on healing, on wellness, and just trying to find some positivity in your day.
What I love about, and I want to say thank you for doing that. What I love about it, because the group is so consistent, right? It's consistent and it's informative. And the guests that you and your partner have every week, I truly feel like I've gained something. I've learned something. And I really appreciate that. That's so good.
Thank you.
Did you always have the idea for this? Because prior to, I didn't really see you on social media like that.
So here's my thing. The idea was Charlie's. And why this is funny is that from a mental health standpoint, with COVID and everything going around, I was on team like, all you got to do is just be making it. Because one of the things you see so many people talking about, oh, you got all this time. You need to be doing a business. You need to be doing this. You need to be investing your money. And I'm like, yo, these are not normal times. And so if all you're doing is surviving and making it day to day, that's what's up. Like, that's the team that I was on. And Charlie hit me up with this idea and we've been rolling with it. So I find it funny because I've been saying, like, all you got to do is survive. And we end up creating this whole thing. So Charlie, she hit me up with this idea back in March. And then she and I just kind of put our heads together and start thinking about people she knew, people I knew, topics. And we've been rolling since we went, 8 consistent weeks from that week in April to that last week in June, took a break. And then we've been rolling again for the last 3 weeks. This second wave, and this will take us until the week before Thanksgiving.
Just this past, on the 28th, which is actually, on the Tuesday, you had the one on relationships reimagined. Loved it. Love the speaker was, Latrice Wosu. Okay. Cause I was going to mess up her name. I didn't want to do that. Lord. And what I love about it is the two of you bring great questions. You poll the audience who's listening. It's a Zoom call. They can all just chime in and watch and listen to the dialogue. And I love that right now we're getting the benefit of free wellness help every week. And it's just that little bit of help that we're getting, a little bit of consistency that we're getting to take the time that we've been sitting at home festering to look at parts of our lives that need attention. And I like that. How do you come up with your topics every week?
Honestly, we kind of look at ourselves though. So I look at kind of like what I'm going through. I'm always on social media. So like when we did the spirituality one, the way that one came about is I literally hit Charlie up and I said, yo, I say I'm seeing during this time, I'm seeing way more people become more spiritual. And I say spiritual as a whole because everybody's not Christian. But I definitely see more people into meditation, more people into prayer. You see people with crystals, burning sage, all these different things, talking about good energy and vibes and all of that. And so I'm always just kind of just on social media and just looking, looking at my personal situations, looking at situations I come across with students that I see. Same thing with Charlie in regards to clients that she have and things that she see. And we'll just hop on and be like, yo, I've kind of noticed this, or how do you think we can kind of get this message across and get it out there? And I think that's one of the reasons why we're like is because we're just relatable. Like I always tell people, like our show is not like I'm Caleb Boswell and I'm a therapist and I'm kicking it.
It's a good balance.
We definitely becoming intellectually, but we are just normal people just trying to have conversation.
Do you think the balance is there because it's a man and a woman?
I think the balance is there is because me and Charlie are friends in real life.
Oh, okay.
So that's the thing. We're friends. So we actually met through work. So we met through a mutual friend at a going away. And then ironically, the university that she was working at, like 4 months later, I actually end up working there too. And then we just end up becoming real cool.
Nice. So what is the goal? What do you want to do with this? Because it started because of COVID.
Yeah.
You saw a need within yourself, within the two of you saw a need that you know we need to address. And it's taken off. You have like 1,100, I think, members, and we're all engaged. I'm like, like last night or any, and they're all, you're getting at least 30, 40 views per video, which, and they stay up there, which I love. You can go back and look at them. But what do you plan on doing with this? What are you going, how are you going to expand this? How are you going to keep this going?
So we're trying to figure that out now. I think what we're doing with it though, you answered that actually earlier. You know, our goal was to just bring community. We recognize a lot of people are kind of just struggling. And so we wanted to bring up topics to give that safe space, that free space to be able to talk about some of those hardships and some of those things that people are going through during this time. And so that was the main thing. We wanted to create that community and create that safe space. And then, you know, on my personal social media, I just always use the hashtag therapy is normal because I'm huge on breaking down the stigmas of mental health and mental wellness, especially in the Black community, especially in communities of color, because it still has this stigma. Here we are in 2020 and people are still, you know, I'm going to see a therapist. Or, don't tell nobody. thing is, just like you don't think nothing about saying you got a dentist appointment. You shouldn't feel no type of way about saying like, yo, I see a therapist. And so I think just creating that community and I think breaking down that stigma that, you know, mental health is just as important as your physical health and to give people that space. And so one of the things that's been dope is that I've seen a lot of people go, hey, you know, since I've been watching, I've tapped into and I've decided to see somebody or I've, you know, hit a group or I've reached out to my insurance and now I'm looking to really see a therapist now. And people are feeling more comfortable talking about it. So I feel like on that end, mission accomplished.
I agree with you. I think 2020, this has been like my, every time I record or talk to someone, it's been like, you know, 2020 has a, and 2020 has, you know, and I think not being a wellness professional, but recognizing my own fragile state of mind during this time and recognizing where I need to do some healing and some reflection and some, I have taken this time personally and really looked within myself, not anyone else, not the whole, you see the post all the time, during this time, you know who your friends are, don't do that. We're all going through stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What I really enjoy about, and I hate to say the word enjoy, but what I've been able to do was do more work on myself.
I think it's dope. Not to cut you up, I think it's dope you said enjoy. That's what's up.
Well, thank you. I felt bad about it. I felt bad about it, you know, recognizing that I haven't really been struggling in the sense of how others have. You know, many people, this is their new reality, and this is hard for them because they need and they feed off interaction with people and people's opinions. And they say, I need their energy. But you have to ask yourself, do you need the energy, or is it because you just, you're masking something else? You used everything around you to run, because with what's happening in the world right now, COVID has made all of us sit down and pay attention. Mm-hmm. And you can't just flip the channel or hop in the car and go somewhere and go hang out. It's like, no, I'm going to be in your face. Everything's going to be in your face. Everything mm-hmm. on your phone will be the same thing. Your emails, the news, it is in your face. And it's a lot. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed during this time with students, friends, colleagues, the shift in their personality and how they're handling COVID? Mm-hmm. And also with you being a wellness professional, how have you maintained your wellness during this time? Because you give so much every week to other people.
Okay. So with the first part, I would say listening to you, that's very normal. Because one of the things that we've stated is that during this time, especially when the lockdown was super serious early on, we didn't have our distractions. You didn't have that commute to work. You didn't have, you know, that loud coworker. You're not running kids to practice. You're not doing all these things. And so what's happened for a lot of people is that they've had to sit with themselves. And in with themselves, they've had to kind of rediscover and kind of tap in and get to know themselves. Mm-hmm. Because you may have your work persona. You may have this persona when you are with this person in this group and doing all these different things. And now that all those things are gone and all those distractions are gone, it's like, I'm kind of just with self. And in some cases, it's been, for some people, an enlightening experience. And for other people, it's been a struggle. Because that white elephant has been in the room for a long time and you've been ignoring it. And now you can't ignore it no more. So you know, people are having to tap into themselves and look at, you know, some traumas, look at some poor behaviors, look at some past habits and look at those things. But the good thing about it, if you're doing it right, you can grow. You know what I'm saying? You can grow from it and grow, hopefully grow back. What am I doing for myself? I think it's important. I think for me, the thing that's most important, two, I would say, one, my faith, and number two, community. Because that's somebody who's doing this on their own. You know what I'm saying? I don't have children. I don't have a spouse, no wife. So I'm just kind of here. And so I'm at the house. I'm either working from home or I'm kind of just chilling. But I think the blessing is the fact that I can lift open my laptop and I got friends and I got people who I can call. There are a few limited, you know, places that I can actually go and actually kick it in, you know, play a couple games. So I would say definitely just trying to make time for myself. And like you say, you know, my job is to give, which is why I'm purposely taking off. I'm taking off tomorrow and I'm taking off Monday. And I told a family member, I was like, yo, I'm closed. I'm closed this weekend. Like, no requests. No, can you just stop by? Can you do? I need a fair. I'm closed. But then what I also said is, I'm living in that moment, though, for these 4 days. If I wake up and I want French toast, homie going to get French toast. If I'm feeling like a piece of banana, cool. If I want to watch a particular thing, cool. I'm going to just be present and enjoy the moment and just enjoy these few days off. Just to disconnect, not be, you know, on work, not looking at all the who shot John with voting and all that other stuff. Just to disconnect and enjoy myself.
You know, and do you recommend that we do more of that? Because I know so many of us hold guilt taking mm-hmm. time for ourselves, hold guilt because you may have been doing well, like you weren't furloughed, you weren't laid off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, well, and you know, you hold guilt. And is it important part of wellness to take those days by yourself? Like mm-hmm. you said, the office is closed. Mm-hmm. Holler at me on day 5.
Yep. I'm available Tuesday. I'll be back available on Tuesday. No, I think it's important. And the first thing I want to say is to not come from a place of privilege, though, because I recognize that we do have a lot of frontline workers who are listening and viewers and things of that nature and may not have the ability to to just take off for whatever reason. But one thing that I do say is that if you have PTO, if you've got vacation time, use it. Because the show, as you see, with COVID going on, the show is still going on. So if you take 2 days, the show is still going to go on. But I'm just a firm believer. You can't pour into other people when your pitcher is running low. And so you've got to take that time out for yourself. Even if you can't take a whole day off, or even if you can't have, you know, a total day to yourself, because again, people have children, people have spouses, taking care of family members, things of that nature. But even if that means carving out an hour, you know what I'm saying, to say, yo, I'm going to go take a walk in the park, or my show is on. Don't, you know what I'm saying, leave me alone for this hour while I watch, you know, my show, whatever the case may be. But one of the things we say on the Healing Collective is that, you know, it's important that you find your light and you protect your peace. And so whatever that looks like for you, you know what I'm saying, if you can do a week of vacation, don't take that time, take that week off. If it's, you know what, an hour to yourself, if that means trying to put the kids in bed early and doing what you got to do just to have that slice of time to yourself, I just think that's super important. Because if you give and give and give, eventually you're going, you're not going to have nothing to give, and you're not going to be a benefit to anybody.
And you're empty, right? You're just totally empty. And I think the important part of wellness I had to realize very late in life is I cannot take care of everyone else and neglect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it builds resentment, it builds anger, it builds frustration. And the reality is, in my opinion, I'm not professional people.
No, but you're speaking that truth.
I really feel that we're naturally selfish beings, and we're natural takers. And if someone's going to keep giving you good stuff, you don't keep taking good stuff. And if they never express to or show that they need in return, or you need to do that, many of us don't give back in the same that we give to other people when it comes to just support, be it a caring ear or a nice hug. And many of us, like you said, you need to take that time off. And if you don't have to go somewhere. You can take a 4-day sabbatical in your backyard, in your room, under the covers.
I am here at the crib. Under the covers, like,
I take them all the time. Like, I leave work early tomorrow, and I'm like, it may only be 2 hours early, but it's going to be the best 2 hours.
Best 2 hours, and exactly.
I'm not answering my phone. I'm not doing anything at all. So let me ask you this, my dear Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your challenges as a single individual? I'm assuming you're totally single. Yes, yeah. I'm putting your business out there. In this. As a single man, during COVID, what personal anxieties have you noticed about yourself during this time?
Ooh, I think with myself, it is. I think I'm just like everybody else. I think I have been sitting with myself and that white elephant that I may have been ignoring kind of crept up. And so one thing that I'm not ashamed to say is that, you know, I'm not only a therapist, I'm also the client. So I've been in therapy myself, and it's definitely things that I've been working on. But again, without the work commute, without those distractions, without all those other things, without the I'll get to it and I'll work on that and different homework assignments my therapist may give me that I may put on the side. Now I don't really have no excuse when I show up on every other Saturday and she go like, okay, you had a homework assignment. Where is it at? Or is you working on this? Or how are you improving on a particular area? So I don't think of myself as extra or different than anybody else. I think that for me, I think one of the things that's also important that we all have to do is that you just have to recognize that we all have things going on. And sometimes what's the word I'm looking for? We put other things on other people. And it's like, well, dang, they didn't call, or they didn't come around, or they didn't not take into account that, like, dang, they may be going through something too.
Life is happening for all of us.
Yeah, life is happening. Life is happening for all of us. And so, you know, one of the things that's I think that's been important for me is letting go of assumptions. Letting go of assumptions of, well, dang, they're not calling because, or they're not coming through because, and just going like, you know what? Life is happening, and just being cool with that, and just trying to be present and go with the flow of things.
I think that's hard though, because
it is. Now I'm not saying I'm over here stellar at it. I said I was over here winning at it, but it's I'm hard working on it.
You know, you're a giving person, but you're doing this right now by yourself, mm-hmm. and you're giving of yourself, but you're also doing it by yourself, and the mm-hmm. anxiety of going places, meeting people, doing things. Why, you know, people always think, oh, he's okay, he's fine, when you probably need to be checked in on sometimes. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to do those things. But I'm going to go back and ask you, how are you doing it as a single man in COVID? Like, let's talk about, let's get a little, let's, you know, put the other stuff aside. Kayla, what are you doing in these single during COVID?
Like I say, I think I'm just trying to stay connected.
Love it. That's right, politician. You gonna give me the people.
And how about, and the crazy thing is, I hate politics at that though. But no, I think I've dated and it's been difficult though to date because you can't even do the normal. I can't even just be like, hey, sweetheart, why don't we go out to dinner? Why don't we meet for drinks? Because you can't do that. And for a long time, you know, every state is different, but Michigan was really shut down. And so we really kind of start opening up the last, like towards the end of the summer, like August, restaurants and everything. Like our gyms didn't open up until September. So it wasn't even like I had a choice. You just had to create it. Like it wasn't like, how am I dealing? There was no choice. I just had to be at the crib and no other word, thug it out for until outside can open up.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, you're good.
I have to. It's been a minute. I have to give you a hard time. But, you know, I understand that because, you know, for me, you know, I think we're in the same situation where we're in our homes by ourselves. So we don't have certain pressures. You don't want to complain about certain things because we don't have to put kids through homeschool and learn technology and getting them ready and actually asking their job, can I work from home, and all of these things. So, you know, it's hard to.
But I think the thing that's normal though is that I already live by myself. So it wasn't like this huge adjustment. It was more of an adjustment of being here, like being in this physical space.
Yeah.
That was the adjustment because it's like, I wake up and I come to the living room or I go to the den and then I'm working. And then work comes to an end and then that's kind of the day, but I'm still in the same space. And so
you were really big in community service. When I would see you were out there mentoring.
Doing
that, engaging with family. You were like the uncle that cooked, like his uncle. Really, you know, so that connection is gone. Yeah. And you have to find new ways to have that connection. So even though we're in our spaces by ourselves most of the time, we had the choice to be out and about. We had the choice to share space. And then we are now told you can't share space. I don't know what you've been doing.
And like we were talking before we went on air, like for me personally, that's what I found the most difficult. Mm-hmm. The ability to just move. You know what I'm saying? Everything now to me feels so calculated. Where before it was like, yo, you trying to go out? Yeah, I'll meet you there or fall through or, you know what I'm saying? Like, my house has always been that house. My house has always been the game night, the functions, I'm cooking, blah, 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 come through. And it's been like a ghost town. And then same thing, you know what I'm saying? As far as going to other people's cribs, it's like super duper limited. So I think for me, that's what's been super hard is the fact that I just can't move like normal. And that I just feel like everything has to be a, you know, we always joke as Black people with the who all over there, but like who all over there, real, real now.
Like who's invited?
Like who all over?
You work on the college campus. You are a counselor, advisor for students. What have you noticed? Because they're in school, but they're doing mostly virtual right now, right? It's all virtual. Mm-hmm. How have you adjusted mentoring your students and what have you noticed with them not having that classroom experience when they're setting their now future goals?
So I think the thing that's been super important is because that student isn't across from me, I can't get those physical cues. Cause that's what I'm always tuned into. Because I always say, you know, people can have the right tone and people can say the right things, but I can look you in the eye, I can look at your body language and be like, you're not comfortable, you don't know what's going on, or something else going on beyond that. And so for me, that's what's been difficult in working with students. And so I think I've had to be extra conscious in making sure I'm asking the right questions and making sure, you know, before this laptop is closed or before that phone is hung up, really just, you know, reassuring like, yo, I'm here. Let me know if you have any questions. I don't want you to hang up and you telling me, I get it. And then we hang up the phone and you like, I don't know how to do, you know what I'm saying, anything in that, you know, in that conversation. A lot of students have struggled, you know, what I've seen, because you don't have that real time engagement. And so if we look at math as an example, if I'm struggling on a math question, I don't have the ability to be in math and go, yo, can I get some help? Or, oh, I'm going to just go down the hall to tutoring. I got to send an email and wait 24, 48 hours to get an answer for a math question. And so I've seen a lot of frustration, you know, trying to deal with not being able to have that immediate help. But I think, you know, we've done a good job and use all types of resources and technology just to try to offer our students as many resources as possible to just try to make this, I guess the only word I can use is convenient, as we can to just try to adjust through it.
So I know your initiative when we first met was therapy is normal.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that was like, that's their hashtag. Like, hey, my hashtag therapy is normal.
Yeah.
How have you used that from last year to now? Because I think this year seems to be kind of like that glimmer of get men and women and people of color to start seeking that type of help. How have you taken what from last year to now to amplify making therapy more normal? What do you plan on doing?
I think coincidentally, the Healing Collective has done that. And so I still post. So I still post, you know, normal anytime I see any kind of meme or any kind of article on mental health, especially things that are dealing with people of color, that are dealing with African Americans, specifically trauma, depression, and anxiety, because that's what I typically see a lot of people dealing with. So I'm still doing those posts. But I think working on the Healing Collective has made it from just posting a picture or posting an article to being able to have discussion behind it, being able to engage with people behind it, allowing people to, you know what I'm saying, ask questions and get their questions asked right then and there, again, to normalize it.
So I know you just stated that you mostly focus on anxiety and depression. And I know that has probably amplified 1,000 times during this time. What takeaways or what type of do's and don'ts would you give someone right now that may be struggling with their anxiety and then struggling with the depression?
So what I say is those initial feelings that you feel with depression and anxiety are normal. It's normal to have a bad day. It's normal to be angry. It's normal to feel anxious. It's normal to feel overwhelmed. All those different feelings are normal feelings. The issue is when you're having those feelings on a continuous basis. So that bad day is really a bad week or it's been a bad month. That's when I think it's time to tap in. The other thing is that I talk about is like your coping mechanisms. What are you doing to cope? Are you going to the gym? Are you working out? Is it sex? Are you drinking? Are you smoking? I'm just keeping it 100 with, you know, what are you doing to cope? Some stuff is good. Some stuff isn't so good. But then the other thing you also have to look at, the third thing you look at in regards to those coping mechanisms, are they still working? And when you look and the gym ain't working no more, or sex ain't working no more, that high ain't working no more, or the conversations or journals or all those different positive things that we talk about just ain't quite getting the job done, then that may be a time when it's time to seek that professional assistance. The good thing with professional assistance at this time, too, is that due to COVID and all of this, a lot of most is being done through telehealth. So you can do it just like this, you know, online. And then a lot of states have kind of eased up on their laws as far as, you know, practicing and doing telehealth, things of that nature in regards to your license. So it is a little bit easier now because you don't necessarily have to make that commute, but you can just plop open your laptop or do it from your phone and reach out to somebody professionally. But I would just say that you gotta make sure that you tap into yourself and be real with yourself and be real with your feelings, because I feel like so often we try to put on that brave face and we try to put on that I'm okay and I'm fine, even though internally we recognize that things are not. And so, like I say, if you recognize that it's been a bad day, anxiety, anxious, those negative feelings, you know what I'm saying, for more than normal, then you definitely may want to check in and seek that professional assistance.
Have you noticed a rise, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to bring it up, a mm-hmm. rise in those taking advantage of the wellness help that's out there right now, because what's all going on, using this as an excuse, unfortunately, to get out of or take advantage of the help that's out there?
Now, I personally can't say that I've seen that in that regards, in regards to professional mm-hmm. help. What I see, I don't think I see people abusing therapy, because you got to pay for that. What I do see people abusing is terms. Everything is toxic. Everything is, and it's like you didn't learn a term, and now you're running away with all of that, and maybe not necessarily having the full.
I was on my list to ask you too about these terms going around right now.
So everything is toxic, and it's like, just because I disagree with you, or just because we don't, you know, we're not on the same page with something, doesn't make me toxic per se. And so I think that people are kind of getting, you know, terms and learning things and kind of running away with them in that sense. What I don't think I see, I don't really see people abusing therapy in that sense, is you're not going, you got to pay for it. So nobody go waste their money.
Because you brought it up, and I wanted to ask you about, you know, I have a very high respect for what you do and the men and women I've met while doing this do when it comes to mental wellness. Mm-hmm. And as I've grown older and I've realized how important mental wellness is and how it really travels through all parts of your life, I've also seen an influx of like rogue therapists or people just out there throwing out terms and diagnoses and opinions opinions as facts. Yeah. And I find it so damaging, because for me, I rather, when it comes to mental wellness, I want to have someone on. That's what you do. Don't listen to Earlene. Don't listen to me. I'm a heathen, and I'm going to say you're down the wrong path. But no, I really respect what, when it comes to what you do and the education you put into it, the training you put into it. And how do you feel knowing that this is what you do? This is your passion. You laughing. This is your passion.
I'm laughing because I'm not going to say the person's name, but there's a particular celebrity that like gets on my nerves, because I'm like, bro, you have no mental health background. You have no mental health training, but you be out here like, what you need to do is, and all you need to do is, and people be listening like Bible. And I'm like, you just, I was about to say something, but I'm gonna be professional, but you just a person giving advice. And it's like, and people listen to you like, you legit. And the crazy thing is, as a therapist, as a mental health worker, rule number one, we don't give advice. I can't tell you how to live your life. So I always tell, like when I explain what therapy looks like and what the mental health process, the therapeutic process looks like, the easiest example that I give is I always say, as a client, you are in the driver's seat. We can only go where you want to go. I'm not a mind reader. So we can only work on what you decide to open up about and what you decide to talk about. My role as a therapist, I always say that I'm your navigator. All I'm here to do is to try to help you explore those thoughts, maybe look at some different options, maybe throw some different opinions out there, challenge you in some ways. But at the end of the day, when you walk out that door, you're going to do what you want to do. I can say, hey, you've done X, Y, Z all this time. How has that been working out for you? What would it look like if you did ABC? I'm not telling you to do ABC. I'm just saying, here's another option. After listening to you, here's another option. What would that hurt if you gave that a try? When you walk out that door, it's up to you if you're going to continue to do XYZ or if you're going to do ABC a try. And my thing with that particular celebrity is he'd be like, what you need to do is, and this is what's wrong with you. And I'd be like, dog.
You have to tell me who this person is afterwards.
Yeah, I got you off air. I said, I got you once this is over off air.
So why do you think it is we're so drawn to the non-professional posing as a professional telling us what to do? Because there's a major following of it.
They're charismatic. They look like they have it together and they got money. So they look like they have it together on their end. So obviously they did something right. So if I listen to them, maybe I can get in a better place like them too.
You know, that reminds me of, you know how people always say you have to listen to the one who already got it. Like if you have money, follow money. Like if you're a millionaire, I should listen to you because you did it the right way. So I'm gonna listen to what you have to say because you're a millionaire. So they're looking at this person, like you're saying, they look like they have it all together. Mm-hmm. And it's more damaging. And to me, what I can't stand about it is you have some out there who really target either women.
Mm-hmm.
And the women that they're targeting are really fragile in their thinking. And I'm not, don't come for me, women. But what I'm saying is,
no, people are in a vulnerable space.
And they're targeting it. And they're kind of like co-signing the foolishness.
I mean, I don't mean this in a joking way, but you know, like our code of ethics, it's a whole nice little stack that we have as counselors that we like legit have to follow. But I tell people all the time, if you just do no harm and don't sleep with your client, you good to go. There's that, like all the other stuff will be straight. But that do no harm is super important because I do know your vulnerabilities. I do know your weaknesses. I do know literally in some cases the right buttons to tap. And that's just the wrong thing to do. That's just the wrong, because you plan on somebody's emotions, you plan on their fears, you're playing on their vulnerabilities for profit. And it's also an experiment because you're saying, if you do this, it's not cookie. People's lives aren't cookie cutter. And so you can't say, all you got to do is this, and then everything will work out. And that's the problem. So many people are trying to follow these cookie cutters. And it's like, you have your own life. You have your own past. You have the things you dealt with, the things you haven't dealt with. And so it's never going to be cookie cutter. And you have these people trying to sell these cookie cutter dreams of, if you do A, B, C and 1, 2, 3, you'll be cool. And that's not how it works. You got to do the work internally to kind of figure out where that anxiety is coming from, where that trauma is coming from, where those things are coming from, and then working on different exercises to deal with them. In some cases, you may be able to heal those wounds and they may be able to close. And in some cases, it may be about maintaining. Like that wound just may not close. It may be just that damaging, but we may be working on maintenance and how to deal with it in our everyday life so that it's not damaging to you.
So I'm going to say something, and mm-hmm. I know I'm gonna be like, damn, really, that's what you said. But like listening to you, and when you said the code of ethics, the stack, and like you said, mm-hmm. the things just don't, like you do no harm. And don't sleep with your client.
Your client. You straight.
I will discuss entanglement situation. Mm-hmm. And that goes into the issue that I have with that celebrity and the entanglement. And the whole thing is this. You knew that young man was fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly said you took this person in to help them. They needed help when it came to their mom issues, daddy issues. You knew where they were coming from, and you took total advantage of that for your own personal healing. And the way they said what they said, well, I needed to heal. So you used someone who was damaged
mm-hmm.
to heal yourself, and you just keep rolling. That's my issue with these, you know, fly by night. Like, I'm not an expert. I will bring someone on and show me the way. And I still am not an expert, you know what I mean? And that's my issue with a lot of this and the hurt and the damage that they're doing, because it's causing more brokenness, it's causing more illness, and I'm just not sure how they can recover from that.
And like I said, it may not be totally healed. It may be maintenance. It may be so that it doesn't take over your everyday life, and so that you're not struggling with it, but it may be learning techniques or things to be able to maintain in a healthy way. You know, you're not going to come into therapy and sit on somebody's couch for an hour and then walk out and everything is cool. It took you more than an hour to get that way. So it's going to take you more than an hour to kind of figure those things out. And so I think for that person, I think that getting some real professional help and to really deal with those issues would be really important. Because at the end of the day, what they had going on is still unresolved. And they came out of that situation even more damaged than when they went in.
Hurt people hurt other people, you know?
Yeah. Misery loves company.
Misery loves company. It's like a party. It's a party out here. With misery. So before I let you go, I know you said it's normal with anxiety, depression is normal. So don't feel like you're not. It's normal.
Yeah. If you having a bad day, if you anxious about it, that's normal. Those are normal feelings. Like I say, the issue is when it's on a continuous basis.
And what you're doing, what are you doing to cope? So is it really important to find key things to do to channel that anxiety and depression?
So that could be, I mean, there's all kinds of research and scientific data to back up. Working out really works for depression and anxiety. Because if you think about it, like I have a friend, she says like when things get rough, it's like, I got to get to the pool. And she and I were talking and she's like, I can't be worried about, you know, what's going on if I'm in 18 feet of water. I'm focused on breathing and staying afloat. My thing is, for me, weightlifting. I'm not, at some point, I stopped thinking about whatever was on my mind because this bar is on my neck, or I'm trying to do an extra rep, or I'm trying to do more. So physical activity, whether you run, whether you lift, whether you swim, it doesn't even have to necessarily be totally athletic. Just get the moving and get out. That could be a walk, whatever the case may be. Another one is journaling. I strongly suggest journaling. And the good thing, when you journal, you should be able to see one of two things when you finish. I always say, when you're in that heat of the moment, if you write yourself an email or if you journal in a notebook or whatever, do it in that moment. But then let that journal sit for at least an hour to 24 hours and then come back and read it. And you should see one of two things when you come back and read it. One of those things is either going to be, I don't really feel like that. I was kind of just in my feelings at the moment. But now that I've calmed down, I've kind of got some clarity, you know what? Things really aren't like that. Or you're going to see, damn, you know what? I really do feel like that. And then that can help you get the ball rolling on what you need to do to work through those things. Staying connected with people. One of the things that, you know, we naturally want to do sometimes is when we are not in a good mood or not in a good space, we naturally want to isolate. Again, it's nothing wrong with taking that day. It's nothing wrong with turning your phone off. But again, it's one thing that to take a day and to turn your phone off and to give you some you time for a day or two. It's another thing when it's like, ain't nobody heard from you in a week. So you want to make sure that you're still staying connected with people. Journaling, staying connected, being physically fit, being active. Let me look at my cheat sheet that I pulled up just in case I forgot. And here's my thing. My thing is this, because I always say that my office, when students are in my office, it's a judgment-free zone. I say my office is like Planet Fitness. I'm not judging. But my thing is, you want to look at your coping mechanisms, and essentially, long as it's healthy for the most part, I'm cool with it. As long as it's not stopping your everyday function, as long as it's not getting in the way of your real life responsibilities, then that's cool.
And that's all we can ask for. That's all we can ask for. I want to ask you one last question. Mm-hmm. What do you do if you're in a situation, if you're in a household, let's say you're married or living with someone that's your spouse, your mate, and your wellness journey is not on the same plane? You know, you have someone who's just they're resistant. They don't want to go counseling. They don't want to do anything. And you're trying to, or they're trying to heal, and your wellness journey is on a different plane. I ask this question because I've noticed on social media, you probably see it yourself, so many breakups happening right now during COVID, or new relationships, and you're realizing with someone you've been with forever, I don't even like you. Or you're realizing who you're really with. They cannot function. They cannot handle what's happening. And it's exhausting. So what do you do as a couple to get on the same page if one's resistant and one isn't resistant?
So I want to back up, though. You said something that's super real. During this time, you know what I'm saying? People are not only getting to learn about themselves and get to know themselves. They're learning to know their significant other. People, another one, people are actually starting to know and learn their kids.
Amen.
Because they're not gone 7 hours out the day. And you don't only see them for the couple hours, you know, breakfast at the drop off and then the few hours, you know, for dinner and then bedtime. You with the homies all day. And so I don't have a cookie cutter answer for that. But what I will say is that, you know, this is a time to reflect and to see, you know, what's working and what's not working. And so, yes, you do see, you are seeing a lot of couples breaking up. You are seeing divorces is picking up because people are really learning who their spouses are, who those significant others are. The only thing that I would say is that you can just try to encourage it. I'm a strong believer in that you cannot lead. I mean, I'm a strong believer in that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And with that being said, you're not doing yourself or your spouse any good dragging them to therapy if they don't want to be there.
That's because true.
All it's going to be is that the person who's open talking while that other person is stonewalled. And so nothing is still going to be accomplished at that point. And so only thing you can do is encourage it. And maybe talk about the benefits of it. And maybe if you're going through it, what you're getting from it, leave that door open, that green light to say, hey, you know, if you want to come, this is cool. But like anything, especially with therapy, you got to be willing, because if you're not willing, you know, you're going to get zero from it if you're not willing to be vulnerable. And that's hard. That's hard for me. I say that as a client. That was one of my biggest struggles. And people go, but you're a therapist, and that's dope. But I'm still a person first. I'm still a man first. And me personally, that was hard. But I feel like my breakthroughs and my progress didn't really start happening until I was like, F it. You got to say this. Or all you're doing is just showing up every week going, all right, you're just having an appointment, but you're not making any progress.
And that's with anything. You can't force someone to do what they don't want to do.
Yeah.
One last thing. You like the hell? I keep saying that. Really, one last thing. Let me ask
you. Look, I'm used to it.
I know. I'm like, hey, but one last thing. Do you feel that we will be stronger after this?
I feel like we will be stronger after this.
Oh.
Because we haven't hit after this yet. And we haven't hit what it's going to look like after this. And I kind of feel like once we kind of figure out what all this is and navigating it, because you keep hearing everybody go, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. It ain't going to be no normal, my baby. Like, this is, we figuring it out as we go along. And I kind of feel like when things kind of open back up, I think people will be stronger after that. If you get what I'm saying.
No, I do.
I don't think that, like, once we get the green light from, you know, saying like, yeah, you can go back to work and you can move normally. You ain't got to have no mask and this, that, and the third. Because you got to think, people have experienced all kinds of new relationships and experiences under these conditions. Like I said, people are figuring out their spouses. People are learning about themselves. People are learning about their kids. People are learning about their parents. And so all of this stuff is new. And then how we operate and how we move, for the most part, a lot of that is going to be new. So I think that we will be stronger in the end after this.
Caleb, one more thing. Just joking. I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to sit with me and share your knowledge and your wisdom and rocking the gray hair, which I'm loving. I'm loving
it. I appreciate it. The funny thing about it is that my gray is hereditary. Like, my family just grays early.
Mm-hmm. So
gray since 25, 26. when it already started coming through, and then I started dying it at like 30. And it didn't think, like, I wasn't shy about it. I wasn't like, yeah, I dyed my beard. But when COVID happened, you're talking about a dude that goes to the barbershop every Friday at 7:30. I went 105 days without a haircut. So I was out here looking
rough. I saw a photo, I think I saw it.
I did that before and after. And so I just let the dye grow out. Like, it ain't no point in dying and I ain't getting no haircut. And then it was like, once I went to the barbershop that first time, everybody's like, just leave it, leave it, leave it. So I'm rocking it.
let me just say, it's nice. That salt and pepper is it's the way to go. In these COVID streets, it's the way to go.
Sure. I appreciate it.
Caleb, I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking the time to sit with me and share your wealth of knowledge. You know you are always welcome.
So I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you reaching out and having me.
You have to bother me to tell me, Earlene, why ain't people on the show with the children? I'm sorry. I want to say thank you so much, honestly, for what you're doing, the Healing Collective. Just, you know, therapy is normal, being there for everyone, giving us great tips to get ourselves back on track. I really appreciate you. Please let everyone know where they can find you. Tell me about the group, how to join the group.
Yeah, so I'm Caleb Boswell, like my name is on the screen on Facebook, so you can always find me there. And then you can find us on Facebook at The Healing Collective. And all you have to do, we're just a group on Facebook, just hit join. And you'll start getting all our posts. We always try to engage the group in discussions. And then we meet every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we have a different guest every week. Like I say, this time around, we're focused on wellness. And so our past three guests, we talked about spirituality and mental wellness. We talked about nutrition and your eating habits and your mental wellness. And then this past Wednesday, we talked about relationships. And the importance of relationships in that discussion wasn't just intimate relationships, but we had a discussion in regards to those familial, those your friend relationships and the relationship that you have with self.
I want to say thank you so much. Once again, we are going to get folks in the Healing Collective. We need to get over there and get all the good stuff you and Ms. Charlie are doing. It is awesome. I love it. It's relaxed. It's inviting. It's normal, and yeah. It feels so judgment free, and in the comfort of your own home. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact because you two are professionals. This is what you do, mm-hmm. And this is like if you don't feel comfortable going to therapy or reaching out, this is like your first step. Join the group. There's going to be a Zoom session for everyone. Go back and look at the Zooms and just feel better about it. And I appreciate all that you're doing. Thank you so much, Caleb. This has been awesome.
Thank you so much.
Keep that gray going out there in these Corona streets. I appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you later. Bye.
Have a good one.